SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Friday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, Sirius XM Online, and at our website, stevebick.com. And nothing like the upstate New York life where you wake up and, April, 16th? There was a little snow. Tina, I don't even know why Tina peeked out the window. She never does that. And she's like, oh, my God. somebody the other day said, you're going to get a little. It's gone already, actually. It's really a rotten. Everything they said about the wet weather and the nastiness came. Not a great way to start training at Saratoga today. Cold and wet. But, that's not unusual up here. It'll revert to spring form soon enough, and certainly looking forward to making my way south and west after the show. And let me slip in, before I do anything else, I've got an important public service message for Derby goers. And, there's going to be a sizable crowd. And I appreciate that certainly, most of, I imagine, there's not everybody's as fastidious about their apparel as me. But do yourself a favor and get out ahead of your your whatever you're wearing, your suit, sport coat. I think I waited a little too long last night to start to pack, and it's a two-prong problem. First of all, who exactly has been wearing anything suit-wise or jacket-wise? And then kind of out of habit and practice when it comes to, pulling out shirt and tie combinations, and very bad. It was like, learning how to dress all over again. It took about an extra hour, I think, that by the time I finished packing earlier this morning, and I put about 2/3 of things in the car. Cause I do want, you want to get as far, I make it an overnight. I think one time, I think I drove straight through like a sick lunatic. But typically, it's an overnight. And now, that's talking about me. Tina likes to give me her hat box so that she doesn't have to schlep her hat box, whatever hat she's wearing. She doesn't have to drag it through airports. And she struggled as well. She was like, what am I going to do? And, she was panic stricken before settling on about three things. So I've got hats and several pairs of her shoes packed away in the trunk to save her from, but I'm telling you, you're laughing and you're thinking, he's ridiculous. Trust me, you're Wednesday of Derby week or Tuesday, whenever you're, making your way to, head into the Ville, you're going to realize that you haven't put on a suit. I've literally Breeders' Cup 2 days and Oaks Derby 2 days. That from last year. I'm trying to think. Maybe one other time I might have put on a jacket and tie. It's crazy. Oh my God! I mean, it's crazy. Over a year. It's too strange. And actually, I brought quite a bit of casual because I don't think, you know, there's going to be, you know, there's not going to be a lot of our, the functions we usually, you know, a lot of it's going to be done, still going to be done virtually. But, you know, I think a little bit more, a little bit, you know, edging closer. Thanks, by the way, to Pat McKenna yesterday for laying out where things stand. I think some people benefited, and I got a couple people who wrote that said they, you know, that they feel better, they feel more comfortable about, you know, what lies ahead this summer. One thing, by the way, that's like I said with Pat, every single day there's been some news story that pops up in New York, and there was actually one yesterday that was really exciting and well received. We might get, I don't know, I haven't heard from Joe yet, but I asked Joe Longo if he wanted to swing through. You know, Joe's the mutual department director and does the interaction with the simulcast partners. Naira is abandoning the Empire 6 jackpot, fairly short-lived, 3 years maybe, 2.5 years, and going back to a traditional pick six under, you know, what had been the long-term framework. It's going to be a dollar, which is very acceptable and a well, you know, well within everybody's, you know, wheelhouse in terms of approaching a big multi. It's going to be 75% main pool and 25% console pool, carryover provision, of course. And, you know, don't think for a minute that you're not going to get, you know, the dollar is a little, you know, not going to be as many carryovers as we used to get with $2 pick six, traditional $2 old-fashioned Steve Crist pick six. But the dollar really works, and this is going to be a lot of fun. I widespread uniform appreciation for this move, and you know, very slowly and steadily the jackpot concept is being put out to pasture. You know, there's still going to be pockets that, you know, that where it has worked particularly well, and I'm sure they'll continue. But the constant attempt to improve prospects and make things better for the horse players really taking root. You know, at some point, you know, well out, certainly before Canterbury opens, we'll also, you know, check in with Andrew Offerman. And you saw, I retweeted yesterday, Canterbury spreading their low takeout provision to a wider basis. And, you know, pick four, pick five, the message has really sunk in. There is no doubt. And every time there's a decision now seemingly to be made, it's being made in favor of, you know, the improved pricing, and, you know, just steadily whittling down. I mean, obviously the whips and the, you know, the two horse and three horse multis, like to get those, you know, into the teens. Well, certainly the whips down, you know, to the, you know, the 14% would be great. But it's a steady drumbeat. And I think players, you know, obviously the racetracks have really responded and need to be acknowledged on that front. There's more details actually in that pick six news, and I'll save it for Joe as it happens, because some of the things that we had really been in championing, including the fact that this pick six will be a retail only, will be strictly retail customers, no groups. So another positive So there's a lot of nice things, frankly, that are going on. There's some nice things going on this weekend. Let's gravitate in that direction. I've also got to do a quick. Marty had to beg off this morning, unfortunately. So I don't have a specific Keeneland. And actually, Marcus, I also reached out to Marcus. He's tied up too this morning. So I don't have a Keeneland specific conversation other than what Scully and DeRosa like. But I tell you one thing, if you looked at yesterday, if you were following Keeneland yesterday, you can stop worrying about Wesley Ward with his 2-year-olds. Yeah, that was a very brief problem, I guess. Put it that way. Yeah, he won both of those yesterday. The first and the third. And then, of course, he won later on too. That Rich Raven allowance winner, the turf sprinter. 1-2 with Boldore chasing. And we talked to Steve Asmussen the other day, and I brought up Boldore. And good try by Boldore chasing, but Maven was not going to be reeled in. And actually, Boldore went off at 7-1. Which was a nice price. That Joker on Jack. The other Wesley was the second choice. Maven was 5-2, but 7-1 was a nice number. And I didn't even notice that he went off that high. Boldore, nice. You know, that horse also slip in the allowance eighth race too at Keeneland. Speaking of horses that got bet, I certainly appreciated that Rich Ang was trying to find a second or third choice, but the horse that he leaned on, Mischiefful, the Ian Wilkes, took all the money, went off at 6-5. That was crazy. Our Working Girl, who had been the morning line favorite, actually went off at her price, 5-2. But Inject at 4-1, who had been third choice, went up, a rarity for a Brad Cox trainee. And this, of course, is that wonderful family that keeps coming up left and right. This is the Frosted Filly out of Appealing Zophie. And Louis Saez aboard. That was a good race, but you got $10. Cox also, I think Cox won a couple of, I noticed too. I was watching Oaklawn out of the corner of my eye. So anyway, that was yesterday. And at Keeneland, you got the Double Dog Dare today. You got a nice card. The weather cleared out. The weather cleared right out and delivered exactly what was promised at a certain point in New York yesterday. We didn't run well yesterday. It was a little disappointing. The ground was a mess. You know, the jocks, they almost didn't run that second race yesterday. They almost didn't run that race on the turf. The jocks came back after the first race, and they said the course is too soft. And in fact, Mig even mentioned, he said, you know, this is on the yielding, and it's moving very quickly to soft. And it looked like the rain was holding off, and then it wasn't. And then the rain really came down. Did you see that little video clip of the water coming down the stairs from the track apron coming down into the paddock? Holy cow. There was Niagara Falls. Now Kid Chocolate didn't like it. He was set up outside, and Benji Hernandez said, I had to ask him every single step, which is not him. He usually just, you know, he's one paced and he likes to just go along. You don't really have to urge him much, but he was sinking in. And Scherzando, who, you know, traveled well in spots, but he was sinking down in. Junior said he would sink down into the wet in a soft spots. So we'll wait for some, you know, come back soon with firmer turf. Better to get the starts in right than waiting. A couple of other pieces of news before Hammer joins us and we start talking about the exciting showdown at Oaklawn tomorrow. I mean, there's real anticipation, and with good reason. So looking forward to that. And also the Oaklawn handicap. It's not just the Phillies and Mares in the apple blossom. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of people making a case for Letruska wiring that field. Nick, the minute the PPs came out on Tuesday, Nick Tamaro quipped. Nick said, what's going to happen when Letruska wires the apple blossom? And I saw that Marcus and his game plan approach. Marcus said, Letruska, she's no doorknob. So I'm very, very anxious to see what you'll have. Hammer, you'll have Scully, DeRosa, Nick Tamaro. Lafitte Pinkai III is going to join us today. LP3, taking time away from his time away. Looking forward to catching up with Lafitte and kind enough to join. I think he's got something. Didn't think we were going to be able to see him today. I've been bugging him for 2-3 weeks. This is about the time that you got to gear up for some LP3. So Lafitte today, I'll give you the rundown. Hammer, Scully, Lafitte, DeRosa, of course, and Tam, Nick Tamaro. We'll check in with Papo as well. And of course, I said I'm waiting to hear. Form to win to look at his thoughts. Of course, yesterday again, 4 o'clock, you had a nice session with Papo, doing some form to win in and outs. What was I leaning toward? Oh, a quick case. Go ahead and reach for Hammer. We'll get going. And a quick update on Derby doings. And boy, you got the Todd horses that are working along. The Wood runners, they worked out this morning. I recirculated a Kevin Kirstein piece of a video this morning from their work, Dynamic One and Bourbonic. So, Todd, having Todd on hand goes a long way. And this will be an important, this is a Saturday, Sunday will be important. Typically, 2 weeks out is, the heavy leaning. This is the work that you really ask. So we'll be watching for that. We did hear yesterday, you saw some of the quotes from John Ed Anthony, who seems like the pendulum is swinging back the other way for Caddo River. Now John Ed Anthony isn't as eager to run Caddo River in Derby. So he's suddenly on a bit of a no track. And if that happens, and if everything else falls into place here the way we expect, there's a potential for Get Her Number to get in even. So that's the current situation. And unless Rombauer changes mind, and it doesn't seem like that's happening, you still are only going to get highly motivated, assuming everything, stays copacetic, for Chad and Seth Klarman camp. So, with Panadol bypassing the race, the bottom of that list is starting to fill out the gate. Dream Shake, Obesos, even Get Her Number. King Fury inching closer every minute. We'll probably catch up a little bit more as the morning goes on with maybe with Ed and James on the Derby front, Derby doings. And right now, we'll go out to Hot Springs. Hammer standing by. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Everything's fine out here in Hot Springs. We won't have sunshine today, but we will tomorrow.
Nice. And that you know, the yesterday's card and you know, today's, you know, they're just race cards.
It's a weekday card today.
Yeah, exactly. although there is the Arkansas Bred Steak today, though, and the Rainbow Miss.
Right. Can't forget them. They've supported us all through the meet, and now give them a chance to run for some real cash. So that's always good. But as we talked about last week, we had a super card on Saturday, and then come back tomorrow with a very good card. And when you're working with one surface, it's not very easy to do. So actually, very very happy with the way the card turned out tomorrow. And of course, you know, the race everybody wanted to see, but I just wanted to go over last week a little bit. It was a big day here, biggest day of the year, of course, with attendance, and just the life inside the track was great to see. And you know, so like I said, it was my first Arkansas Derby day, so it was cool. You know, pretty much dominated by three groups. Steve Asmussen, of course, he won three races in the big one. The West Coast trainers did very well, with Peter Miller winning two races and a stake, Bob Baffert winning a maiden race, and then John Sadler came back with Edgeway and won a stake. So the West Coast was well represented with four wins, and Brett Calhoun, who won a tight photo in the mile, and then came back and won the nightcap with a nice maiden score. So very well-rounded day, and it was great. You know, the home team won. I think what the day did too on the racetrack, it showed how fair this was playing here. You could come from behind, you could win from the front, and that's typically the way the racetrack has been. So good to see that. And Concert Tour, of course, was defeated, and if he runs in the Derby, which we don't know yet, he'll be one of those ones that was that we talked about earlier. The public will have kicked him to the curb, and between him and Mandaloon, who have run nine races, they've been favored in eight of them, and you're going to get nice prices on both of them if you like them from the beginning. So keep your eye on them. This is one of those years where anything can happen, and I think one of those forgotten horses might pop up and win. But during the day, I just had a little, small little story. It was kind of cool. So during the middle of the day, I'm going to say a seventh or eighth race. I think it might have been the three-year-old sprint, the allowance race. But I was in the paddock, and the paddock here is underneath the grandstand, a la Pimlico type of thing, and the horses saddle under there, then walk through a little tunnel and go out to the track, except for the stake races where they'll put the riders up on the infield. But anyway, Paul and Norfer happened to have a horse in there, and we were walking out, and we paused somewhere around the winner's circle, and we're chit-chatting about this, that, and the other thing. And as we're talking, Steve Asmussen walked by, and he was headed out to the track, had his head down and doing some stuff, and I said to Jerry, I said, you think you're ever going to catch that guy? You know, kind of loud enough for Steve to hear, but, you know, he didn't look up. He kind of looked over, and Jerry goes, he's not in a very good mood. And I had figured it out because he had won an early race, Steve did, and he had a few in and hadn't had a win in three or four races. And I said to Jerry, I said, yeah, just like you used to be. You think you're going to win every race. And, you know, we're kind of talking about that. I was telling him when I first met Jerry, I was up in the placing stand and up in Golden Gate Field, and he might have won three or four on the day. And I remember him, he lost the nightcap by a head, and he was kicking buckets down the track all the way back to the barn. I mean, that's the attitude these guys have. And that's why they're, guess what? Number one and number two of active trainers of all time. They think they're going to win every race. It's, you can just see it in them. And I thought for a minute to myself, I go, wow, here I'm talking to, you know, here's the number one and number two trainers active right here in the paddock, you know, kind of walking by. And it was just kind of a weird scene. It was kind of cool. And then, of course, you know, Steve went on to win the Arkansas Derby. And it was a very special win for him, as I think he's been on all the media outlets you've had him on, CDN, and you know, you could tell it was more than just a win in the Arkansas Derby with the family represented and the whole thing. And so the next day, it was Sunday, and you know, I was going to, one of his assistants, Darren Fleming walked in. Congratulations, and said, yeah, you know, great. And then I go, geez, well, I haven't really said anything to Steve yet. And now, you know, I like to congratulate people kind of on my own when they win. And sometimes I'll send him a text, sometimes I'll call. But I look down, I go, you know, he's got one in the fifth race. And I said, you know what? I'm going to, you know, go congratulate him. And it was about 2 minutes to post. And I know where he watches the races. He's got a little secret spot, and I'm not going to give it up, because I've run into him four or five times. Not really talked to him, but kind of noticed that's where he watched the races. So I go out. And he hides in the open, which is pretty cool. So I went out, and this is race one, I couldn't find him. And I turned around, there he was. And he goes, well, what are you doing here? I go, I'm looking for you. And I go, you know, congratulations, you know, great job yesterday. I know it was special. And boy, he had the biggest smile, you know, relief, pride, all at once, that you don't see too often. I mean, from him, he's just, you know, mind going a million miles an hour. And he, you know, we talked for a little bit, and he said, yeah, you know, it was very special, and, you know, just very humble. He says, you know, you just try to put yourself in a position to get lucky, and if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. But you could tell that meant a whole lot to him. And it was, you know, you don't often see, you know, people like that in that kind of a relief mode. It really meant something. So it was a very cool moment for, you know, out of however many thousands of victories he had. I know this one was right up at the top. So it was just the way it worked. It was very cool. You know, it just... It was just cool. What can I tell you? You know, you get these little moments of all the times you're in there, and it was just fun to spend time with a couple of these guys.
And no doubt on both fronts, with Hollendorfer, and you know, and of course you've got to have known him virtually your whole career. And as I said, you know, subsequently this week, after, you know, Steve was on, you know, the ebullient. Steve Asmussen is, you know, the best Steve Asmussen. He's, you know, because people are intimidated. He's, you know, first of all, he's a big man, and, you know, and he, you know, he's serious about everything. So when you get him in this frame of mind, and it, you know, there's been any number, you know, after his wife Julie's illness, and when She's a Julie came along, and you could tell every time she performed well, it was, you know, something really special. And you know, and then with the boys, and you know, with Keith winning, you know, getting, you know, that opportunity to ride in the afternoons, you know, because of school hiatus and so forth. I mean, there's any number of occasions where you've really seen that side of Steve Asmussen, and when he's also can be in a really satirical frame of mind at times. I mean, when and you know, if I think if he's comfortable, he'll give people the business. And you know, he stuck it to me last year with Mattioli, when I didn't vote for Mattioli for sprinter, and he obviously had seen the ballot that I had put out there, and he put me on the spot, and I could hear, you know, I could hear the laughter in his voice.
Yeah, that's why I don't put my ballot out there. but no, you forget, just like you said, these people are, you know, they're people, but you know when you're working around, you know, those kind of guys all the time, you know, honestly, you take them for granted. But you know, like I said, stop and realize, you go, wow, these, and as a matter of fact. You know, I was looking at Saturday's entries, and I mean, forget Little Old Oakland Park here. I mean, there's in the top 20 trainers of all time. I'm talking all time. There's 11 that are active still, that are still active. Of the 11, this six of them have horses in at Oakland on Saturday. I mean, it's you know, like it's a Little Oakland Park. You know, we got Steve Asmussen, of course, has horses in Hollendorfer. Todd Fletcher has one in. Wayne, of course, is here. Wayne Lucas, Carl Broberg, and Tom Amos. I mean, there's six of the top 20 of all time, and you know, they've just run horses here. They're just, you know, here doing their stuff, and so it's kind of neat to be around you know, guys like that are you know, all time guys.
You bet. Well, you got an all time matchup here for this apple blossom for an early season, you know, first half of the year. I think this is the matchup that in terms of marquee that, you know, people have obviously gotten excited about.
Well, you know what? This is very cool. You got to thank all the connections of, you know, not just. Swiss Skydiver and Monomoy Girl, but all the connections of everybody who entered the race. We got six horses, and you know, you never know who's going to show up, and it's great. This is racing as it's supposed to be. I think I don't know if there's two other horses of any sex that you'd want to see facing off right now, and I'm it's the Apple Blossom. It's supposed to be a great race, and it really is. So kind of neat. When we were doing the weights and going over it, for some reason I stuck in my head that the Apple Blossom was a mile and eighth, and it's a mile and 16th, and I'm glad it's a mile and 16th. I mean, it's only a 16th of a mile, but the mile and eighth races are so different from a mile and 16th races, in the fact that, you know, a mile and 16th, you got to race the whole race. There's no time for a breather. Whereas a mile and eighth, it seems to slow down a little bit out there somewhere, and it's just not quite as intense from the minute that the gate opens, and this actually will be. And it's pretty, you know, just taking a little straw poll here and there on Twitter and just around, I'll tell you what, I haven't heard anybody pick Monomoy Girl. A lot of Swiss Skydivers and a lot of Latruscas. A lot of people are on Latruscas, which is great. I mean, just, you know, looking at the race, I never really appreciated Monomoy Girl till actually the last five or six races. I think I don't know. She just you know, talk about pace, talk about track, talk about anything. I think she's just I don't know, unbeatable. I think she's just super. What is so cool to see about the two top fillies is the way they just make their way across country or anywhere to race. I mean, here's Monomoy Girl from the bottom of Fairgrounds, Keeneland, Churchill, Belmont, Saratoga, Parks, Belmont, you know, Oakland Park. And then you got Swiss Skydiver. We all know about her ventures last year. Churchill, Tampa, Fairgrounds, Gulfstream, Oakland, Santa Anita, Keeneland, Saratoga. I mean, these are what real champions are made of, and this is what we like to see, and that's why, you know, this is just going to be, it's going to be a great matchup. So where do you fall? Where do you think?
It's funny. I mean, my initial feeling was that that Swiss Skydiver off of the Beholder Mile effort was going to be, you know, was going to be tough. Then, you know, you fold in Monomoy, you know, having gotten her prep in and you know, having, you know, essentially been there and stayed there subsequently. But then this Latruska conversation has really kind of been, you know, eye-opening. And when you start looking at, you know, at the pace scenario and the fact that there, you know, there really isn't somebody that has got her freewheeling, front-running style coming into this, you can absolutely see how it's possible that she just, you know, gets out there and leads them all on a merry chase.
Absolutely. I mean, look at her. You know, she's quietly just happened to, you know, won two races, got beat ahead to She Dares the Devil, who, you know, was very, very nice filly. And the fact that she, you know, didn't come from, you know, way off the pace, but she didn't have the lead and fought down to the wire. You know, interesting enough, she's on her fifth consecutive different rider, too, coming into this, too, going from Belmont to Gulfstream to Houston to here. But she's legit. So she runs good numbers, and you know, she's won what, 1, 2, 3 graded stakes coming into here, plus all the races in Mexico. And it's kind of cool to have that little to have some other competition in there. Brad Cox throws in Get Rid of What Ails You, who's, you know, no slouch, And we're glad to have, you know, Chris Hartman throwing his horse. And, of course, Steve Asmus is back with that horse up there. Another horse on the rail. And didn't we talk last Friday about the rail? I thought it was kind of odd. We talked about the rail, and I said, you know, believe me, don't worry about it. And what happened on Friday? Four horses from the rail won. So we don't worry too much about that. But this is just such a cool matchup. And, you know, we knock on wood, but sometimes you talk. That's why we didn't talk. I didn't want to talk too much about it last week or even during the week. But once the overnight comes out, and then once they get here, and then we can start going. And you can kind of feel the buzz a little bit around here. But like I said, just in talk, haven't heard a lot of Monomoy Girl backing, but I think she's I don't know if you can do this, but I kind of, after yesterday's talk, it kind of might be the female Wise Dan. I mean, just kind of wins, and doesn't matter where, and doesn't matter the conditions, but a lot of W's there. So her only two losses did come at a mile and 16th, but she won the other four. So I don't think there's a whole lot of holes. Let's just, you know, open the gates and let them go.
It's really a fun set of horses, and you know, you brought up Steve Asmussen, who now has got his hands on another broad, and you mentioned get rid of what ails you. You know, they both have nice resumes as well. You know, in this case the fourth and fifth choices. It is exactly what you hope. I'm sure everybody at Oakland hopes every year you get this kind of scenario. You know, you think back to how the Apple Blossom was going to hopefully be the venue for a Rachel Alexandra Zenyatta showdown. That was always going to be the 2 years, you know, 2 years running. The hope was that that would be the case. Well, you got yourself as good a high profile matchup as is possible. And Rick, we've got to talk. I want to get some opinions from you on the Oakland handicap, because in all the hubbub over the grade one, I don't think people have looked carefully yet, other than, you know, just doing their early handicapping. If you haven't looked at this Oakland handicap yet, this is a crazily well-matched field. Oh. And I mean, I got a real problem here. It's, you know, it's also going to be part of the cross-country pick five. And this is a very difficult spot to narrow down candidates.
Can you say all button? I mean,
very close.
Kind of facetiously, but I'm telling you, every horse in here has finished first or second in their last start, which, you know, okay. Throw that on top. You know, the favorite that's coming in from California, Express Train, has the least amount of wins in the field of three, and is the deserved favorite, coming off a second in the Santa Anita Handicap. You have all kinds of horses here. You know, oddly enough, if either one of those fillies decided to enter in here, they'd be the favorite, which is kind of wild. So think about this. Last Saturday, a week ago, we ran the Oakland Mile, which was a super contentious race that All My Standards ended up winning by a nostril over Rushy. So then, which was just another super competitive race. Then we come back a week later with the Oakland Handicap going a mile and an eighth on the dirt, and just as interesting a race. I'm with you. Sometimes I do this goofy thing with myself when I see a race like this. If I'm playing, I'll pick four horses, and then I'll play the four that I didn't pick because I figured I can't pick the winner. But this is one of those goofy races. But so Steve Asmussen again, spot on the rail, Silver State. Now, this horse has really come along. He's developed, you know, kind of in front of your eyes here during the meet. The first stake he ran in the fifth season, he was not the favorite. He might have been 4 or 5 to 1 in the program. And I just remember him taking early money, kind of on the boards watching, and, you know, maybe a quick 2 to 1, and then he went down, and then he just kept taking steady money and ended up going off at 4 to 5. And really had to run down a tough hunk of Burning Love, who had the lead all to himself. And I thought, I'm going to put that away and think about that. And then it came back again in the Essex, and ran a very, very game race and got the job done again. There's something about horses that, that know where the wire is and fight. So he's won four in a row, and he's going to, he's 4-1 in the program. I think he's going to drift up. I think Santana takes him out. I like him a little bit. Talking about Express Train coming in here. Now, John Sheriff, who doesn't travel a whole lot, he has won here and had success at Oakland. Of course, Zenyatta won the Apple Blossom, I think, twice. And he's also won this race before in the 2008 with Tiago. And that year he swept the Apple Blossom and the Oakland Handicap. So he knows where Oakland Park is. I think he ran a horse in the Arkansas Derby a few years ago, Royal Mo. But not too many trips. But when John goes, he goes to win. And the jock follows him. Juan Hernandez comes out to ride. And you know, the horses, it's only won three races, but been very, very tough. You know, the third, the second to Charlatan and the Malibu, and then to come back in kind of a breakout race in the San Pasquale, and then run a second to Idol in the San Diego Handicap is a pretty good resume with when you have Maxfield behind you in that. So a very deserving favorite, but beatable as well. Fearless. Todd was thinking about the mile last week and then opted for the longer race, the mile and eighth race, of which he hasn't won at yet, but he's coming off of his best race of the year, of course. Fearless, Warriors Charge had his tune up here last time. Marshall will be in town. Marshall Graham of 10 Strike will be here to watch his Charge go again and then definitely be a pace player here. Guess Sweet coming off a win in a tough allowance race. Owendale, you know, I think I've been chasing this horse for a long time, expecting him to finally, you know, get back to his old self. You know, he turned into a deep closer there for a few races, and it just didn't work out. And, you know, he showed a little bit more speed last time in the New Orleans Handicap. And that was a very, very contentious race all the way around. And so maybe he's got a little spark back and will be fine here. Rated R Superstar, you know, just kind of a high-class allowance race. It's actually claimed for 50 a couple starts back. And then it comes in and runs second for 500. So that was a nice claim. And on the outside, this is my sleeper here, Silver Prospector from the Asmussen barn as well. Liked this track last year. Won one of the preps. I can think of it. Yeah, won the Southwest last year. Hasn't quite put it together to where he was, and had a nice race last time. It's kind of, he got beat six lengths, but who did he lose to? Mystic Guide, who went on to, of course, win in Dubai. So I think that race set him up for a little bit. I'm looking for a little bit of a price here anyway. And, you know, I'm definitely going to use Silver Prospector in one of my tickets. I like maybe the two Asmussens and Express Train if I had to pick three.
Yeah.
And you can pick three others, and I wouldn't disagree with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly right. You know, Fearless... Fearless, actually, second off that layoff, is okay. What's his, 7?
Absolutely. I mean, just because he hasn't wanted a mile and eighth doesn't mean he can't. You know, like you said, he came back off the layoff. He did what he's supposed to do, won the Gulfstream Mile. And like I said, they toyed with coming here last week for the mile and opted for this spot instead.
It's I'm anxious to hear what everybody else has got to say, and including Nick later, in terms of building his cross-country pick five ticket. The rest of that, you know, the rest of the card, we got some nice allowance races, we got some maiden action as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very nice card overall.
Yeah, the first half's a little on the Klamath side, but once we hit the seventh race on, it turns up a notch. And, you know, just like I said, this is the second half of the festival, you know, that we talked about being stretched out for a couple of weeks. So, you know, it works. You know, it's nice when they're all bunched together, but when you can spread them out and still get what we got, it definitely works. So I'm, you know, really thrilled about that. It's going to rain a little bit today. Like I said, it'll be nice tomorrow, and, you know, come on out. I just wanted to go over one other thing, talking about Naira. I know you had Pat on yesterday. And so Saratoga, they're going to let people in. What about some kind of card or something that you need? That was what's concerning because I'm making my plane reservations here.
Well, not necessarily. There is, New York has created this Excelsior app, and you can, I got mine already. As soon as you're cleared 2 weeks out of the, out of your second shot, or have, whatever other proof you might need. For me, it was automatic. I mean, they recognized that they had my dates immediately. I put my, my name and birth date in, and it said, was your final shot March 28th. I was like, yeah. And so I've got the thing downloaded, and they tell you to put it in your, if you got an Apple thing, put it in your Apple wallet. The Sabres and the Bills have sort of set the tone for this by saying that they'll allow full capacity for anybody that, that has already, received vaccination. So, I ran that by Pat. They're waiting. They have to wait, obviously, for further clarification from state health officials. But at the very least, there's going to be the opportunity, to apply for tickets or, lottery style. There's several different options, but there's going to be access.
What about us foreigners from out of state?
I'm sure there'll be a method, the same, the ticket acquisition method and the sign up kind of things that have been, utilized elsewhere is the expectation for anything aside from what might be something like the Excelsior Pass.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and buy my plane ticket anyway.
Yeah. And we should be further. It's 20% now. It could be 50% by July.
Right. I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about getting there and they say, sorry, you're not from New York and you don't have your, pass. You can't come in. So, anyway, we'll play that by ear.
Yeah.
The way I always said, if you can't sink into a racetrack, you don't belong there anyway.
That's a good line. That's a good line.
Right. But anyway, it's all good. Glad to see the pick six going back. Like you said, we had a little wave of the what do they call it? The big bonus thing at the end, that thing. California, we had the arm on the pick six for 20, 30 years and let it go and tried to turn, California into Florida. And, it's not worked. And I'm glad to see New York come back with that. I think Delmar, take this all the way. But when you get closer, we'll find out. But I think Delmar's going back to the quote old California style pick six, the $2 deal with if there's a carryover, and maybe we can go back to those magic words that everybody asked when they left the track. Is there a carryover? Is there a carryover? Come back and study for it the next day. So. Anyway, it's good here. We have a few weekends left, and obviously this is a great way to kind of go out. And so tune in. It's going to be about 6 o'clock here, local time, central time, for hopefully one of the best races of the year.
Exactly, and America's Day at the Races, of course, coverage tomorrow on Fox and today too. Yesterday it was Oakland and. And an aqueduct. So look forward to coverage. And Hammer, I appreciate it. We'll talk next week. Talk to you from Louisville.
Sounds great. Enjoy. Have a safe trip and carry on.
Away they go, everybody. And big day tomorrow at Oaklawn. James Scully standing by. Let's get Scully in here and we'll do some Kentucky Derby report with James now that all the preps are over and we're still dotting I's and crossing T's when it comes to this field. There's movement to and from on a daily basis this week. James, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Yes, I'm here in Lexington, Kentucky. It's sunny and chilly this morning, and we're 15 days away from the Kentucky Derby.
It's moving right along. And in fact, I even, because Tina was trying to make some decisions. And so I actually did something I rarely do, which is peek at the long-term forecast.
I hate.
I know. I hate to be the one that does it, but you know, it looks 70-ish and cloudy-ish, and you know, there's a, you know, I mean, the weather in the Ohio Valley in general is, you know, is problematic, but it seems like the forecast all Derby week is the same every day, 70 and cloudy. So, but there doesn't appear, at least this 2 weeks out, it doesn't look like. You know, there's like sometimes you look ahead and there'll be the rain cloud, you know, 4 days in a row. That isn't in the offing right now anyway.
Yeah, and I'm glad this cold spell hit us here in Kentucky, you know, right now. Overnight last night, we've got a couple more days of it this weekend. But, yeah, I mean, I'll just be glad to see the 70s come back. And, I mean, we've had too much wet weather on Kentucky Derby Day in recent years. Hopefully we can avoid it this year.
Let me get some thoughts. Your final coming out of the Lexington and out of the Arkansas Derby, some final thoughts?
Yeah, I'll just say Superstock really took a step forward in his second start this year. He ran fourth first time out in the Rebel, stretched out to a mile and an eighth for the first time. And, you know, he sat right behind Caddo River and Concert Tour, who whipped along, went real fast early in the race, and got guided out in the stretch by Ricardo Santana Jr. and finished strongly to win, going away by 2.5 lengths. I thought it was a really nice performance. Might be asking a lot of him to come back and, you know, take another step forward 3 weeks later in the Derby. But he's definitely a colt that could be finishing, you know, for mid-pack, should be settling in about mid-pack, I would think, in the Derby. One big takeaway about that race, it just concerns both Caddo River and Concert Tour. You know, those horses have run the opposite race. When Caddo River didn't, you know, wasn't on the lead in the Rebel, he didn't run well. When Concert Tour wasn't on the lead in the Arkansas Derby, you know, he didn't run his best race, weakened to third late in the stretch. And those horses, I mean, it looked like they were heading towards another battle in the Kentucky Derby on the front end. They would both, to me, seemingly be the speed of the speed. But now with Caddo River on the fence and Concert Tour not 100% confirmed either, it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out, because they are, you know, I mean, Rock Your World went wire to wire in the Santa Anita Derby, but I could definitely see him settling in like third or fourth in the early going. And if Caddo River and Concert Tour both were in the Derby, I don't see why they wouldn't each be on the front end again.
Well, and that, you know, that's what's so interesting about this, you know, vacillation from John Ed Anthony and Caddo River, and even the very surprising reticence, it seems, of Bob Baffert, who says he really wants to see Concert Tour out of the race to make an evaluation. You know, you would think between Baffert and Gary and Mary West and everything involved here and the high confidence level they had. I mean, clearly they were, Baffert in particular was shaken by him not coming through last week. Because he's always seemingly confident, but, you know, the expectation level was really high. So, I mean, the fact that they're not just shrugging it off and you know, pressing forward, that they really want to evaluate him before committing, that to me is a little surprising, and that says something.
Yeah, and, you know, in this era, I mean, nowadays, especially post-Justify, you know, being unraced at two doesn't get as much talk, or, you know, people don't bring it up as much with these Kentucky Derby contenders. But Concert Tour did make his debut on January 15th. And I think if you're unraced at two, you know, you you're on a, still on a little bit of a tight schedule, and you want everything to go correctly. So when you do have such a big disappointment like that, you know, it's easy to see why he wants to make sure he bounces back. He's got to go 10 furlongs, you know, in the Kentucky Derby. And but you have to think, Steve, that if he comes back and works well, he's 100% going to run.
Well, having
that's at least what I think.
Well, I agree. Having either or both in is going to be very key to how this whole how the whole pace scenario unfolds.
Correct. And I'll mention King Fury ran a really big race off the shelf. That race also had a fast pace. King Fury was at the back of the field with Unbridled Honor, who ran second. But really a strong move on the turn. It was a it was a wet track, so and he's still never been non-furlongs yet. But he's going to have a chance to get in the Derby. Could have some defections in the days to come. You know, we had last year's Derby had, you know, a couple key defections right before the race. That always happens. Horses like King Fury, even like Keep Me in Mind, they're not out of it yet. And if horses like that get in the field, they're pretty much confirmed closers.
You know, I'm going to take a picture of something. In anticipation of leaving for Kentucky, I always end up going through, you know, the stack of paperwork that this desk produces. And I came across the Alabama chart from last year, August 15th, 2020, Swiss Skydiver, Bonnie South, Harvey's Little Goyal. And clearly, it was a conversation. I my notations on it. I save these all the time because the notations are horses that were brought up in the conversation on, you know, after the Alabama with Ken McPeak. And so I came across this today. I hadn't seen it in months and I'd forgotten about it. This happens to me all the time. And on the list, on the paper, are Drop Anchor and Dreamquist and Tabor Hall and Symbolist and Royal Tryst, and they're right there on the side, King Fury, or I think I wrote King's Fury, the way I heard it at the time. And so, you know, Kenny last August thought highly, clearly. And you know, you heard McPeak quoted as saying, you know, we've always thought highly of this colt. Well, you know what? Here's proof, because he was talking about him last August.
Yeah, absolutely. And, people, if he doesn't get into the Kentucky Derby field, Kenny McPeak was down this road a few years back with Senior Investment, who won the Lexington Stakes in 2017, didn't make the Derby field. And he actually came back and ran a huge race to be third at Pimlico. So King Fury, King Fury could be a horse that if he doesn't make the Derby field, might be able to run a decent race in Baltimore, because McPeak's done that before.
Well, we have got some short straws yet to be drawn in terms of the filling out the field and some other decisions that continue to be pending. And so when we're together next week, either on the phone or at Churchill, we'll be that much closer, and we'll start to formulate our plan of attack for Oaks and for Derby. In the meantime, James, plenty of good racing again today, tomorrow, into Sunday. Let's do some selecting.
All right. Well, I'll start at Oaklawn. I'll mention those two races. You know, my first trip to Oaklawn Park was in 1995. I saw Cigar beat Best Pal Concern at Silver Goblin, who ran a big second that day, was in great form. And then in the in the Apple Blossom, you had Heavenly Prize, one as even money favorite for Shug. Shug had Heavenly Prize and Inside Information that year, a couple of really dynamite distaffers. And it's it looks like a really deep distaff division this year. Got two of the major players, Monomoy Girls, Swiss Skydiver. One thing about Swiss Skydiver is I loved her race last year in the fantasy stakes there. I think she's going to get away running from the gate. Looks like Latruska is going to show speed, but I could just see her falling into a good, stalking trip at second. You know, Swiss Skydiver has some tactical foot herself, has led wire to wire previous starts. And, with a lot of people even touting up Latruska, there's a chance her price could drift up a little bit from what it is on the morning line, in my opinion. And I'm going to give her a slight edge. It could go either way between her, Monomoy Girl. She runs her race. She's going to be awfully tough to beat. But I know that Swiss Skydiver likes Oaklawn Park, and I know she's coming off a prep, and I think she's interesting in the Apple Blossom Field.
Well, it's the headline. Headline race of the weekend, no doubt about it.
Yes.
What about the handicap?
And the handicap, I like, Express Train to me, you got to respect him for Sheriff. He must work out a trip from the inside. I took a look at Warrior's Charge. He could get the trip on the front end. But I like Fearless. I do think that, he came back. He had a nice tightener in that one turn, Gulfstream Mile, and now stretching back to two turns. Key for him, like in a race like the Oaklawn Handicap, there's not a lot of speed in there. And I think that's going to enable Fearless and Irad Ortiz Jr. to sit closer to the pace. I look for them to, finish up strong. He's my top pick in the Oaklawn Handicap, Fearless.
Yeah, I brought him up first with Hammer earlier, and that's my initial lean. I'll key off of him. All right. Anything else at Oaklawn?
No, that's it at Oaklawn. I'll mention a little bit Keeneland on Saturday. Red Knight's coming back in the Elkhorn Stakes mile-and-a-half turf race. Really liked his performance last year in the Sycamore. He's 3-1 on the morning line, but, for Bill Mott. James Grand gets up on him again. He was up in the Sycamore last year. And, I think he's poised. I like the outside draw. I think he's poised to run a good race at Red Knight.
Red Knight in the Elkhorn, a nice field of 10. I actually didn't mention this yesterday after the draw, 3-1, and one of a continuing assault by Bill Mott on the stakes races all over the place. Maker, speaking of assaults, Maker with three in here, Cross Border, Monarch's Glen, and Tide of the Sea. It's a nice group. Elkhorn's always a nice early season. 12 furlong test.
And I'll mention one other race I like on Saturday's card. The race before the Elkhorn is a allowance race, mile and a 16th allowance race. You got a couple horses on the outside. Mighty Heart and Top Seed are both contenders in there. But I like number one, Final Jeopardy, dropping in for a tag here for Bill Morey. He's won two of his last three dirt starts. Got away slowly last time, Steve. He's another one I think he's going to benefit from the pace scenario on Saturday, be able to sit a little bit closer with Martin Pedroza, 8-1. I like number one, Final Jeopardy in race 8 tomorrow.
Nice. So people can even put these two together for a little double action, Final Jeopardy and Red Knight. Jeopardy's in the news every single day now. I mean, whether it's Aaron Rodgers and the guest hosting and then of course, when it comes to horse racing Twitter, Final Jeopardy particularly gets discussed by Andy because Andy Serling gets just agog at the bad wagering. It makes Andy crazy. Jeopardy very big in horse racing Twitter.
Absolutely, and Aaron Rodgers has been fantastic. Been watching the last 2 weeks. Really enjoyed him guest posting. Today's feature at Keeneland is the Double Dog Dare. Speech returns, going to be a favorite in there, but it's really a little bit interesting race. I'm intrigued by number one Royal Flag. Keita, excited to see her return in this spot for Chad Brown. Doesn't look like she's going to be the favorite in here. And, she can overcome any kind of pace scenario, has won from inside post before. And I like Royal Flag and the Double Dog Dare today, Keeneland. And my last second Friday play, Steve, comes in race 8 today, Keeneland, number 8, Baruka.
Sheree. Baruka, like Baruka Salt.
Baruka. Absolutely. Love the cutback to turf sprint here. She has positional speed to receive the right trip. 8-1 with Brian Hernandez Jr.
And Cherie won the nightcap yesterday at Keeneland as well, and with a very heavy favorite. Nice royal flag for Chad today in the double dog dare, and then some Veruca salt in the eighth.
All right, Steve, look forward to talking to you next week. Thanks for having me on.
James, that was great. James underscore Scully 111, everybody. And we'll see James in person no later than, I don't know, midweek. Well, Churchill opens Saturday, right? So Ed and James and Scott and everybody and Joe Christofek, they'll all be circulating. We're going to take a quick timeout. We're 5 minutes late. Let's break here and come back and check in with LP3, the voice. Lafitte Pinkai III joins us as we inch closer to the Triple Crown season. And I should mention, even though Marty wasn't on today, Triple Crown coverage these next 7 weeks, call it 8 weeks, because, you know, after Belmont, we also follow up with coverage, is brought to you in part by Health Medics. And I just literally, not 5 minutes ago, just put some Health Medics ointment on my hand, my left hand that continues to get more and more arthritic on a going basis. Whether it's the ointment or the drops, tremendous premium CBD oil. And Marty introduced me. That's why we created this Marty sponsorship. But all through the Triple Crown season, we'll send you toward Healthnetics and invite trial, money back guarantee, everything you could possibly want. Take a look and try it. I was shocked because I'd heard about these for years and thought that's just silly. Well, it's not. Healthnetics. Back after this, Lafitte Pinkai III.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at pabred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Sirius XM Sports.